set free captives those who are held back, those who oppress, Lord, not only those that are in countries that can't worship you freely, but also, Lord, those who are oppressed by situations they're in. And Lord, we pray that as we continue to worship you today, that you would set us free. For those who you set free, Lord, are free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Do sit down. Do you expect today that as you come here to worship, that the Lord will set you free? Yes? He will do, and he will do that in ways that we can't possibly imagine, if only we are willing to open our hearts to him. And so as we now hear God's word, as we ask God to speak to us, we believe that this is actually stuff that God has given us. Yeah, these words that we're going to hear, that Jess is going to come up and read to us now, are words that are going to set us free. They are not just any words. These are the word. This is the word of God. And so when we open our hearts to that, we can know for 100% certainty that he will set us free. And we might not have any idea how that may happen, but we know it will if we've opened our hearts. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? And then afterwards, Adam's going to come and reflect on what the Lord has been putting on his heart to share with us, which we believe that he's put on Adam's heart so that we can continue to be set free into that new chapter, that new season that he's calling us to. Thank you, Jess.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. So then, put away falsehood. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Luke chapter 15, verse 8 to 10. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. That's better. Who here, how has everyone's week been? Who's had a rubbish week? Yeah, okay, that's fine. So today's talk is called I Was Lost, But Now I'm Found in Jesus. And today that's going to be our theme, is that we were all once lost and now that we are found in Jesus. And so it's really important today that we remind ourselves of this particular message, especially when we face difficult weeks. So the purpose of this letter, sorry, let's pray first. Holy Spirit, will you come and have your way today? Whatever our weeks have been, may today we put that at your cross and that we worship you today. Holy Spirit, will you come and melt all the insecurities that we have, and may we find our strength in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the purpose of this letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, now it's good to point out at this time that although this letter was directed to a group of churches in Ephesus, it was also for other believers in the region as well. This particular letter is different to Paul's normal letters to other churches, because normally he's got a bone to pick with a number of the churches because they've been naughty in some way, and he calls them out and gives them the correct teaching. Where this one, there's not any particular reason as such. So he just goes in depth teaching into nurturing and maintaining church unity. And in today's reading in Ephesians 4, 25, 5-2, Paul the Apostle focused to remind the believers in this region to take off the former things and to put on the new. So we're going to explore that a little bit today. So let's look at the scripture for today. And Paul helped us by listing 8 items he wanted us to address. Number 1 should be, put away falsehood. Falsehood meaning lies. And you may have noticed going through these Bible verses that he gives a negative sometimes and then reinforces his message with a positive. So don't do this, however, do this instead. And then there's normally followed by a motivation as well. So speaking the truth sets us all free and builds up the church, people in this room, if we speak the truth to one another. The second one is sinful anger versus rightful anger. Okay, well, let's explore that a little bit more. The Bible is clear that anger is not a bad emotion. Instead, it all depends on how we use it. If we are angry and take it out on someone, it hurts and damages them. If we bottle it up, it can cause us to be bitter and destroy us from within. Now, I'm just going to share something. Has anyone of you heard about hedgehogs and rhinos? No? Okay, so you get 2 types of people. You're either a hedgehog. I'm a hedgehog. So if there's confrontation, I curl up in a ball and hide and pretend it doesn't exist. Okay, that's my coping mechanism. Where you've got a rhino who is not afraid to deal with the confrontation and will deal with it. So, Emma is a rhino. And she does it beautifully. And I am a hedgehog. Now, both have strengths, both have weaknesses. But the problem is that sometimes as a hedgehog, I bottle things up so much, and then it could be the tiniest little thing, and I just explode, and that's it. Yeah, I can see a few of you turn into your partners, and yeah, anyway. And so it's really important that we have a good understanding of what anger is and how we can learn to control it in a really good way. So therefore, don't bottle it up and don't let it become bitter and destroy us from within. Now, me and Emma, we've been married for 10 years, and one good, useful advice that we were given was this. It was on a marriage course that we did. We had lovely food as well. But the one thing that I remember from this, one bit of good advice that we had was this, and it was, don't go to bed on an argument. Stay up until you get it sorted, and then you can go to sleep. And I would recommend that to anyone. Good anger is feeling angry at injustice or someone being treated unfairly. So if we do see an injustice happen or someone is being treated unfairly, then that doesn't mean we go running into the situation full force, tell them exactly what you think, and think that you've solved the situation. No. I think it's okay to speak up, but we must do so in a loving, gracious, and forgiving way. That is what good anger is. That it must come from a root and a foundation of love and not something that is inward-looking and selfish and hatred. And at the end of the day, it's really important that we handle our anger over to God, whether it's good or bad. Next one. Stop stealing. It's quite a simple one. Paul talks about an economic kind of situation here, which he kind of subtly explains. And so he says this. Stealing is an action which drives from a need. This action and need grows from jealousy, greed, and selfishness. And so Paul hits the nail on the head here by saying, simply stop stealing, go to work, earn some money, so then you give money to those who are in need. So it actually stops the cycle of stealing in some sense, because you're catering for people who are in need, and therefore the need to steal will stop. So go to work and give to those in need. Next one, please. Unwholesome talk. Now, the word unwholesome, when we look back into the particular word unwholesome, it means basically gone off rotten fish. It means rotten, it means broken, it's just nasty, okay? And so what Paul is referring to here is, in the church, don't do unwholesome talk. Don't speak of something that is going to destroy something. If it's not building up, or if it's not helpful, just don't say it. A phrase that my grandma used to say, or my mum, I can't remember which one, maybe the two, but we used to say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say it at all. And I think that's a good bit of advice. And so unhelpful talk, meaning bitterness, harsh words, slander, bad attitude towards others, and instead build up each other in your faith. So we are to build each other up with faith. And your words are to give grace to those who hear it. That's really important, because if they're not hearing grace from what you're saying, it's unwholesome talk. So we need to have helpful talk that builds up the church. Next one, please. Oh, can we just go back to that one? Penny, I've got an apology to make to you all. You will notice that there are no males in this on the pictures on the screen, of which I would like to say males are not excluded from unhelpful talk, because they most certainly do say that. And so I would like to apologise that there are no males in the pictures, and to call it out, okay? So males, you're not exempt from this either. Next one, please. Okay, don't grieve the Holy Spirit who lives within you. Okay, now, grieve in our language means a few different things, so let's unpack that a little bit. It's like if you were applying for a job and you need someone to be a reference, and then you go and be mean to that person that you need them, who is going to be your reference. Well, they're not going to give you a good reference if you're then mean to them, because they need to testify about your sense of character. And so it's good to be nice to people. The Holy Spirit is living within us. And so the Holy Spirit is the one guaranteeing on our behalf that we are worthy of such salvation. So don't go and annoy the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Live a life pleasing to God, because the Holy Spirit is at work inside us, transforming you and me and equipping us all. Next one, please. You might be able to read some of them on the big list. You might not be able to. I hope you don't. Remove harsh traits. We all have qualities and traits of ourselves that we really don't like. And so get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander. Instead, be kind, forgive one another, just as we have been forgiven. We must forgive other people because we ourselves have been forgiven by Jesus. Next one, please. Be imitators of God. So, I was a bit nervous about this particular one, because in the study notes it says that, you know, and it's true, that children imitate their parents. And so then I'm just wondering, oh no, what do my two sons imitate me and Emma in some kind of way? What kind of traits do they have that? And I couldn't think of any particularly, but I was just really concerned about that. And in the same way, we as believers imitate God, because he is our Father, that he has adopted us as his children. And so therefore, we need to imitate him. Next one, please. Live a life worthy of love. As I mentioned just before, we are children of God. We are adopted. And therefore, he has given us so much love. Even the parts that you really don't like about yourself, he loves them bits. And so we are to live a life worthy of love. That means we love people who we struggle to love. Yeah, if you picture some of them now, you need to love them more. There's a video that I watched the other night. It just came up on my Facebook feed, and it was in a courtroom in America, and this guy had just been trialed to go into prison for a number of years for killing three people. And so just after he was sentenced, the victim's family get to address this killer and tell them exactly their thoughts in any way they wish. The first two people wished him to rot in hell for the destruction that he has caused in their life. The last person, shaking as he reads, emotional, but speaks truth. Truth that, yes, this man has taken his daughter away from him, but truth in another sense, that he understands what forgiveness is about and what love is about. And he said, I don't say this easily, I don't do this easily, but I forgive you. And if you watch the video, the first two people who wished him to go to hell, there was no expression on this man's face. As soon as a man said to the murderer, you are forgiven, the guy just melts to pieces and you see him just crumble because that word has been spoken over him that he is forgiven. And love looks like that, forgiveness all the time. Love looks like it's selfless. And to love is what we are known to be called. We are known to love others. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this passage, I was thinking, oh, geez, this is quite a harsh list to go through, quite a harsh passage. I was thinking, yeah, I've lied, I've stolen, I've been angry in the bad sense. I've spoken badly of others, and I haven't always lived a life worthy and pleasing to God. But this passage, if we understand it correctly, is not about condemnation. So if you're thinking, oh yeah, I really need to work on that one, yeah, perhaps we all do, okay? You're not alone. We all have got stuff that we need to work on. But this message is not about condemnation. It's not about restricting you. It's not about putting the former things on you again. It's about releasing you in your new life as a believer. It's a message all about grace. Grace is only given to us by and because of Jesus. No one else can give us that. Jesus died for us on the cross so that before we were blameless, we were sinful, we were selfish, we were angry, we were disgusting, hurtful people. But because of Jesus, we are sinless, we are blameless, and we are free in him. And it's all because of Jesus that we are this new person in Christ. This passage and even the letter to Ephesians has the same message for us today, which is we are a new creation in Christ. The old rags have gone and we've got new clothes now. We have a life that is eternal and promised to us that we will have this eternal life. We are set apart and made righteous. And so in our faith, we are relational in two senses. The first being that we are relational because we are children of God. He has chosen you. I don't know about you, but there are things about me that I cannot stand and I absolutely hate. For instance, the fact that the candles on this communion table are not lit really drives me insane. That's not a blame on anyone. That's just a thing that I hate. Me and Emma were having a conversation yesterday and I can remember things that are useless and not important. And I said, I really wished I can remember the important stuff. And so there are things that in us we all completely hate. And yet God loves them bits about you. Even the grey hairs on my head and yours. Well, some of you anyway. He loves the fact that you love detail or you don't love detail. He loves the fact that you love a lion or you don't. Well, actually, I'm not sure who doesn't like a lion, so I can't use that. But there are things that we love and that we hate about ourselves. I want to go on a treadmill, but I also really do not. I'd rather go to a cake shop and have lovely cake, if I'm honest, which, anyway, yeah. But that's the point, that there are stuff about us that we absolutely hate about ourselves, but God has chosen you. And that there is absolutely nothing you can do about that except for just saying thank you. The fact of the matter is that there are things in our life that we have done wrong. And so this list, this passage is not about condemnation to say, yeah, you need to work on that one. You need to say three Hail Marys or whatever. No, none of that at all. Just accept that you are sorry and move on. The parable of the lost coin. A woman having 10 silver coins and then one of them goes missing. And so if you notice in this parable, the focus is not about the losing of one lost coin. The main attention here is the one lost coin being found, and that there is so rejoicing. And in this parable, in this story, it then goes on to say that if one person repents and turns back to Jesus, there is rejoicing in heaven. I like a party. I like food. You probably guessed that I like food, and I like to socialize in small doses because I'm an introvert, and so I think it's great that there are rejoicing in heaven over one person turning away from sin and turning to God. So if you're like me, you fall, you trip, and you sin. And then you get into that whole self-wallow, don't you? About, oh, I've done it again. And then you go and hide from God, or attempt to anyway, because you can't hide from him. So you ignore God for a couple of days, if you can, and you go into this self-wallow and all of this, and then you eventually pop your head up to say, hi, God, yeah, sorry about that. I think often enough, when we do sin and when we do trip, the enemy likes to play minds on us to keep us away from God. Likes to speak lies into our heads in terms of, yeah, you're not worthy actually to receive such great grace and salvation. You're not worthy enough to even be called a Christian. A follower of Jesus. There have been times where when I wear this, or even just being a Christian, I do not feel worthy enough to call myself a Christian. But we can only stand in the place where we're at because Jesus and his grace. So when you next look in the mirror, remember this, that God has chosen you. Through all of your faults are no longer faults in his eyes. You are a beautiful creation made in his image, and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So if you trip, if you fall, get back up. A famous quote that's just come to mind. Well, it's not so famous, from Batman. And Batman falls, and the butler, I've forgotten his name, Alfred, isn't it? Yeah? Okay, something like that anyway. The butler turns around and said, Mr. Wayne, the reason why we fall is so then we can get back up. And so as soon as we fall, we have to get back up and face Jesus. That's really important. So I ask you this, are you found in Jesus or are you still lost? Because being lost is something that's in our past. Lost is when you were sinful, when you were blameful, when you were all of them things that were our former self. And we are now called to live a life worthy enough to receive such grace to God. So is there something that you're holding on to, that perhaps God is saying, hand that over to me? Whether you have fallen out with someone else, how you think about someone else, or how you think about yourself, God has called you, he has chosen you, and there is no one else in this world that he would rather have than you. Because there is only one of you in this world. And so I'm going to ask you to stand if that's okay. If there is something on your heart that you are struggling with, what I'm going to ask you to bravely do, if you feel right to do that, is to, where you are, just repent and turn to God in your own way, in ever how you want to do that. We're going to have some music playing in the background. And then if you would like to receive some prayer over anything, could be anything, I'm going to ask you, or you simply just want to come and kneel at the front. There's no anything significant about coming to the front other than you showing God that you mean business and that you mean something. So I'm going to ask you, where you are while the music's playing, to think about some situations that he's placed in your heart right now, to hand over to him and to say sorry and to turn to God. And if you would like prayer, there'll be a few of us at the front to pray with you. You don't have to say anything. We can just pray for you. Is that okay?
Cool. These are lovely candlesticks, aren't they? The thing is, they're just candlesticks, aren't they, at the end of the day? The thing is that they aren't actually serving the purpose that they're created for unless they've received the light. And that's true of our lives too, as well, isn't it? You know, we're not candlesticks, but we are God's creation. And when we receive his light, we serve the purpose he created us for so much more beautifully. And so I'd encourage you today, if you feel that God has placed on your heart anything, because it might not be anything to do with what Adam said, but just this inkling that you have to come forwards, can I just encourage you to do that? And to know that there are going to be more people that would like to do it that perhaps may not come forwards. And maybe some people that might come forwards if you came forwards. So just to feel free in worship and to know that nobody is judging you, but that it's for you and God.